This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Do you want to know what Padres players are really thinking? We get you closer to the Padres than anyone else in town. It's time to go inside the clubhouse. It's Friar Friday right here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's Friar Friday, and we head out to the SDCCU fan hotline. Not just one of our favorite Padres, Tony Gwynn Jr., but one of everybody's favorite Padres joins us, and that is the Sheriff, Chris Paddock, here on 97.3 The Fan. Chris, off to a great start this season. Congratulations. How are you?
Thank you. I'm well, man. It's crazy that the year is already, you know, we got 12, 13 games under our belt. We got a winning team this year, and I'm very blessed to be a part of it.
No question about it. I was just going to ask you just real quick, kind of general, your breakdown of your first three starts. It seems to me that everybody says, well, he hasn't had his best stuff yet. And I kind of hope they're right, because if that's not your best stuff, we're in good shape, because it's been pretty good stuff as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, if my best start hasn't came out yet, you know, I think it's going to come out here shortly. But, you know, overall, my first three starts, Diamondbacks, San Fran, and then the Dodgers, I think we've done an awesome job this year of, you know, going over our game plan, whether it's Mejia or Hedgie behind the plate. But this year I told myself, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to help this team win. And that's what we're about this year is, you know, we're trying to get out of that selfish atmosphere of, you know, personal stats and just doing what we can do, you know, keep the team in the game or, you know, help the team win. But as a starting pitcher, man, you know, if you get pulled and you got the lead, I mean, you look up there and you got, you know, 8-9 guys in the bullpen that, you know, are gonna shut the door. So that's always a good feeling, you know, taking the bump every fifth day. But overall, man, the stuff has been good. You know, I think, around the league, a lot of players thought that this would be a difficult time, you know, building up, and we didn't know how it was going to work with all the protocols that we have to follow and stuff like that. But I think overall, from the Padres standpoint, I think we've done an awesome job of making sure we are ready to go for the season.
Chris, talk a little bit about your first three starts. I watched all three starts. The first two starts, you were predominantly fastball change. You mixed in the curveball a little bit. Now, in the third start against the Dodgers, we saw a lot more of the curveball, and we saw some really good ones. Talk about, was there a strategy behind that, or is it just a feel thing? You over the three starts, you got a better feel for it, and it just happened to work out. It was against the Dodgers the third time.
Yeah, I would say it was more of a feel. It wasn't, you know, my first two starts, like you said, I threw it a handful of times, less than double digits each start. But,
yeah,
you know, I would think it was just more of a timing thing, you know. With the Dodgers, I knew that, you know, we're going to have to throw the kitchen sink at them because, you know, that's 1-9. Those guys over there are well managed, and, you know, they have some elite players. You know, two MVPs, you know, guys that, you know, you gotta study a little harder. But I would just say the first two starts, it's not that we didn't need it. I wouldn't say that that's the right term. It wasn't the right time to use it. you know, different situations popped up, runner on second, nobody out, you know, I'm not going to get beat on my third pitch. You know, I want to, I've always been an aggressive pitcher. You know, I want to compete with that hitter, whoever it is. You know, if I'm going to get beat, hopefully it's on my fastball, you know, knowing that, you know, maybe I made a mistake mentally. But I definitely, you know, the confidence with it is through the roof, man. It's, you know, being able to see some of those swing and misses that I had against the Dodgers.
Yeah.
You know, it gets my swing and misses at the top of the zone with my fastball, you know, because of the arm slot. I think there's a lot of positive that comes with when I throw the curveball more, you know, the outcome of the game is a little better from a personal standpoint. But overall, man, it has nothing to do with the team that I'm facing. It's just, like you said, it's more of a timing and just happened to be against the Dodgers.
Chris Paddock is with us on our Friar Friday interview, and we're thrilled to have him on the program. I'll tell you what, Tony, just listening to Chris talk, I mean, 24 years old and doesn't talk like a thrower. He talks like a pitcher. You know, I'm getting swings and misses at the top of the zone and my arm slot. You've really studied pitching quite a bit, it seems to me, Chris, and I wonder how your new pitching coach, Larry Rothschild, has kind of picked up with you after learning under Darren Bosley for a year. It seems like you're really soaking all that information in.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, this being my second year, I've learned a lot. You know, the first year went by so fast for me. You know, the off season, you know, I really broke down all the moments, all the memories that I had with, you know, my first year and all the teammates and coaches that I got to build a relationship with. But, you know, I knew going into my second year, for me to be where I want to be, I'm gonna have to continue to learn, have that drive to get better every day. But like you're saying, when we hired Larry, you know, I was obviously, you know, shocked. I was like, man, this is pretty sweet. You know, you're talking about a guy that's been around Hall of Fame pitchers. You know, he knows what it takes to win. You know, and me being a younger guy that wants to kind of lead this staff to playoff baseball and to a World Series here soon, you know, why not Larry be right by our side? You know, a guy that knows how to win. He knows how to, you know, teach younger guys to be where they want to be. But he's very old school. You know, I'm a visual learner. I think it's pretty important that a coach like Larry himself, you know, we have five guys in this rotation. Everybody learns different. And I think he does an awesome job of breaking down, you know, Davies is going to learn a few different things than I am. And him being able to build that relationship with each starter, I think it's been awesome. And, you know, we love Larry and we're very, very blessed to have him in this organization.
Chris, you were rewarded by Jace Tingler and the staff with the opening day start. You didn't disappoint. Talk a little bit about what it's like being the tone setter, because we all know when if the team happens to get into a rut, they all look to that number one starter to kind of get things on track. Do you relish the opportunity to be that number one guy and to get things on track or to keep things going?
Absolutely. You know, when I got the news that I was taking the ball, the first game for us, you know, obviously I was, you know, when he told me I had goosebumps running down my arms, you know, that was kind of one of the list, one of the goals on my list this, you know, past off season that I wanted to check off and accomplish. And being able to do that, you know, is a dream come true. But, you know, we have some elite pitchers in our rotation. It could have been any one of us. And I think, you know, being able to use that as like friendly competition and holding each other accountable has been really awesome. You know, especially me, Lamet, Richards, you know, even Davies on the back end. We are always doing a really good job of holding each other accountable, picking each other's brain. You know, hey, what are you seeing on these hitters, this lineup? And I think that's what it takes to, you know, be the next level that we want to get to. But it was a dream come true, man. Like I said, it could have been any one of us. You know, I'm very thankful that I got the opportunity. But, you know, like you said, I want to be that guy, you know, hopefully for the next 10 years that, you know, is that guy that's going to, you know, end the losing streak or start a winning streak or, you know, win the series for the boys. You know, all those factors come down to it. But at the end of the day, man, just going to put my head down, go to work, and be a good teammate.
Off to a great start this season. No surprise to any of us. Chris Paddock joining us here on our Friar Friday interview. Chris, you talked about thinking with the team a little bit more this year, and you did get your win over the Dodgers to start the series this week. They won the other two games. But I just got the feeling watching the games that this Padre team feels a lot more equipped to compete with the Dodgers. Did you come out of that series feeling that way?
Absolutely. You know, obviously, like I said, you know, losing that series was pretty tough on the guys. But the fact that, you know, game three, we're down by, you know, four runs at one point in the game, and being able to kind of, you know, come back into the game and put pressure on them. I think last year, you know, the Dodgers opened that game up and you know, we put our heads down and go back in the locker room. But, you know, we had an off day yesterday, but Wednesday, you know, game three of that series, you know, the boys were hungry, you know, and obviously, like I said, it doesn't matter if it's the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks, you know, whoever it is in our division, you know, 60 games is 60 games, you know, in baseball, that's a very short season. So we're really trying to, you know, stay focused mentally, stay healthy physically, and, you know, go out there and do what we can every single night to, you know, help our team win. And that's not just coming from me. That's coming from all the guys. But, yeah, man, I really do think that, you know, this year people around the league are really starting to see that, you know, who the Padres are. You know, we've been trying to build this team up for the past couple of years now, you know, with the young prospects and getting a couple, you know, veteran guys around the league, a couple of trades. You know, but we're ready, man. We really are excited about this year. You know, it is a little different with the no fans and stuff like that. But I think overall we've done an awesome job of following the protocols and doing what we can to, you know, use our imagination and visualize those fans cheering on the Padres.
Talk about that a little bit, Chris, because obviously it's different, right? I mean, I know the crowd noise is being poured in, but you look up, especially if you're in the stadium and there's just no one in the crowd. Has that been an adjustment for starting pitchers? Because I think everybody assumed it would be an adjustment for some of the relievers coming in. How has it been for starters, though?
Man, it is – I'd be lying if I said it wasn't different. It definitely is different. You know, it's not the same when you're warming up in the outfield and you're used to, you know, seeing the stadium fill up with, you know, nothing but Padre fans, and you get all the boos and the chants, and, you know, there's just the excitement around the ball field. You know, it's definitely different. But, you know, a huge, huge shout out to our production team. They've done an awesome job of just trying to keep us somewhat like it was, you know, during a normal year, you know, with the crowd noises, you know, the obviously the national anthem, the seventh inning stretch, you know, you got all these little things that baseball has done, you know, for 100 years that, you know, we never want to take out of the game. But it has been different, man. It really has, you know, but I think a lot of guys are having to use their imagination, you know, visualizing, like I said earlier, visualizing the crowd noise and kind of, you know, making stuff personal. How am I going to get fired up? How am I going to get myself locked into, you know, face the Dodgers, face the Giants, face the Diamondbacks, you know, a different color uniform that at the end of the day, it matters. You know, but for me personally, man, it's after that pitch number one, you know, whether it's Hedgie or Mejia behind the plate, I'm pretty locked in. You know, I don't hear a sound. I don't see anything. You know, I see the mitt, and we're trying to execute our game plan, and that's that. But I would say the most challenging part, man, is when you're not pitching. You know, I think the new protocols now are, you know, staying out of the dugout for non-starters, you know, kind of watching the game in the stands. You know, that's probably the toughest for me is you want to be involved. You want to help your team win as much as you can on the bench. You know, being a cheerleader is what I call it. Whatever it is, you know, you want to be in that atmosphere of getting the boys fired up and being in that, you know, energetic dugout, but that's probably the most challenging part for me.
You're facing the Diamondbacks tomorrow night. It's the last question for me, Chris, and we really appreciate the time. Know you're busy and have a lot to get done before tonight's game, but As far as tonight's game is concerned, what do you do as a starting pitcher for tomorrow night's game to help you prepare? I know you already faced the Diamondbacks once, but it's now a couple of weeks later, and guys are swinging the bat a little different, and things are different. What do you chart pitches tonight? Do you just focus in a little bit more on how they're swinging and what their approach is at the plate to help you for tomorrow?
Yeah, I would say I definitely, you know, will visualize, you know, and read their swings, you know, read how they're seeing the ball. You know, Davies is throwing for us tonight, so it's, you know, it's a little different matchup. You know, at the end of the day, the lineup might be a little different for tomorrow. But overall, I'm trying to read their swings. Like you said, it's, you know, a couple weeks into the season, guys are getting more comfortable, seeing more pitches. You know, their swings could be a little different. So I try and pick those little things up. But when I get home, man, it's large pizza time. You know, I crush the Domino's pizza. I call it like a carb overload, something I've done for the past couple of years, man. And I get a lot of weird comments, you know, why pizza? Don't really have an answer for that. It's just, you know, something that's kind of stuck with me. I'll pull up my iPad, FaceTime the family, you know, mostly my brother, and go over the hitters. And, you know, by the time I get to that second to last piece, I'm huffing and puffing and, you know, ready to go to bed. So that's kind of a funny little routine that I've always done for the past couple of years to get me ready for the night before my start.
You're going to have everybody eating Domino's pizza. You keep that routine. Right?
Exactly.
Well, Chris, thanks so much for the time. Again, I know you got a lot to get done, and it's very kind of you to join us. I know the fans love hearing from you, and continued best of success to you and the ball club. Off to a great start, and here's to keep it rolling here in 2020. Thanks again,
yes.
Chris. We'll talk
keep
to you
going,
soon.
Keep going, Sheriff.
Yes, sir. Thank you all, gentlemen. Y'all have a good day.
You too,
all right, Chris,
sir.
Take care, brother.
There he is, Chris Paddock, our Friar Friday interview, joining us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. San Diego County Credit Union has low mortgage loan rates, equal housing opportunity. For details, call 877-SDCCU4U or to apply online, visit sdccu.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.